Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Mm-hmm. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Wow.
Goodness. That's strong.
My goodness. Freedom. And he's talking about that came off of Mount Sinai.
Yes.
That's the context. Yes. That's what he just said in chapter 4.
Very threatening.
Wow.
Wow.
There's no confusion there.
Yeah.
Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you.
My goodness.
Oh, my gosh. Wouldn't that be troubling to someone today who would say, well, I think that circumcision's a really good idea. I would have to rethink that it being a good idea. From a religious.
And they will justify it by saying, but I'm not doing this to be justified.
Yes.
I'm doing it to be obedient. That's hair splitting and creating a false dichotomy to avoid the plain truth of this text here.
And something that clearly you would have to read into Paul, because from the beginning, chapter 1, verse 1,
right,
Paul has never said a word about do these things just to be obedient.
That's right.
He does never say
never.
That. Never. That's never, not never. Paul's point.
But we're going to see that circumcision means more than just the cutting of the foreskin.
Yeah.
It includes a whole style of life.
More goes along with it, doesn't it?
Yes.
It's part of a package.
So we have to be very careful here.
Verse 3, and I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, what is that whole law which you should not keep on pain of being separated from Christ? Is it clear?
Wow.
Isn't that
Don't go there at all.
Not just circumcision,
right,
but whatever's attached to circumcision by way of Jewish lifestyle under Moses, don't go there, because you are cutting yourself off from Jesus.
Amazing.
My goodness.
Absolutely amazing. Well, that gives us pause. And again, what law was it that's associated with circumcision? Not the traditions of the fathers. Some people say Paul was just talking about all the traditions of the fathers and all that. He was not. Paul is talking about the law as given by Moses, the law that came off of Mount Sinai, the law that has as its seal circumcision. That's the law.
Yes.
Paul is saying, don't go there.
That's right.
Don't do that. Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And of course, that was an Abrahamic thing too.
Yes.
It actually antedates Moses. Circumcision does, isn't
sure.
it? But it's still false to the new covenant, the
Absolutely.
Physical circumcision. Right. Don't go there, because then you are under obligation to keep all these other
right.
laws.
Right.
Don't do it.
Paul doesn't say here, do it because Abraham did or something like that.
No.
He just says, no, don't go there. When you go this direction, you're under obligation to keep the entire law.
Amazing.
Not parts of it, not some of it, not parts you
That's
like
right.
of it or
That's
you think
right.
you can do, but all of it.
Puts you under
right.
a curse then,
yeah.
said that earlier. That puts you under a curse. Jesus died as an exchange curse to remove that curse
right.
from it. Don't go back under that thing,
right.
because you're denying the crucifixion now.
Yeah. I think that's an interesting thing. For people who want to get involved in keeping law, they often don't realize that the law is a package in toto. You can't divide it up. You can't take parts of it. You can't say, well, this is some of it. This is the moral part. This is the, I guess, immoral part then. What are you talking about? It doesn't work that way. This is not the way Moses gave the law, and it's not the,
not
way,
the way Paul
gave the law.
Yes.
So when you begin to embrace the law, you take it up. You are obligated to keep the entire package. You
exactly
can't
right.
pick and choose. And so I've never found a community of believers who wanted to keep the law, and they say, oh, yes, we must do that.
Yes.
Well, we come to say, okay, well, then do you take the person who's guilty of adultery and stone them?
Exactly.
Because that's the law.
That's right.
I'll say, well, we're not allowed to do that. What do you mean you're not allowed to do that? Peter said we should obey God rather than men.
Yes.
So, what do you mean you're not going
to... Yes.
When's the last time in your community you stoned someone for breaking the Sabbath?
Exactly.
I'll say, well, we don't do that. What do you mean? That's part of the law.
That's right.
There's not a matter of saying, well, we'll keep the parts we can keep, or right. that all the legal authorities allow us to keep them.
Right.
It doesn't so. The law right. is the law, is the law. It comes as a total package.
Yeah.
And thanks be to God, we have found that you can't say even superseded, it preceded the law in the mind of God.
Yes.
That's what people don't understand.
That's true.
The law came as a foreshadowing, God's kind of pointing the way to the real the real goal, which
until,
is Jesus Christ.
Until a time limit.
That's right.
What is it when something expires in a shop? Right. You know, there's a date by which you should eat it, right? There's a time limit on that legal system.
That's right.
People have not understood that fully. What about verse 4? How tough is that one?
Verse 4, you have been severed from Christ. Mm. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. Wow.
That's very powerful.
Very powerful.
And remember, seeking to be justified means seeking to be obedient to God in the right sense. Being right with God, not wrong with God. You're trying to do it by the wrong set of rules. You're playing golf with the golf club upside down. The structure of your theology is systematically flawed now.
Yes. Absolutely.
That's what he's saying.
Wow. And you know, it's interesting that I have found that people tend to want to play two sides of this thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, we're going to keep the law. We're going to keep the law. And then we say, oh, yes, but then it doesn't justify you. Oh, well, we don't do it for justification. Well, wait a minute. What are you talking about here? You're just, you know, you're working, you're finding ways to justify doing something that actually God doesn't want you doing. And Paul is going to great pains to help you to understand, don't get into that. I love this, what he said in the beginning of this chapter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Paul is saying, for the freedom there, that Christ has set us free, therefore keep standing firm, and don't be subject again to a yoke of bondage. That's the words I think that Peter used in Acts 15 then.
Mm-hmm.
A yoke which neither we nor our fathers
were able to bear.
Wow. So the law, not the law in a package, it's a heavy burden. We have men of the law and understanding who are saying, it was wonderful, it was a good thing, it's certainly better off than those who did not have it. But at the same time, it was a burden to bear. It was only for a time, and the time was going to come when you can't say that Jesus was going to come along and perfect it or fix it. Mm. Jesus was going to come along. What he's really going to do is set in place what God had in mind all along, from the beginning. Before Moses is even on the scene or thought of, Jesus and the plans God had for him for this new covenant is what God was really getting us to. And the other came in the interim. It came in for a good while.
Temporary.
Yeah, surely. Absolutely. And it bears some resemblance to the things that were to come. Yeah. But the real thing is now before us. And
so that difference that you described there between I'm not doing it to be justified, I'm doing it to be obedient, is a distinction without a difference.
Yes.
It's a desperate clutching at a straw.
It just doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't
and every commentary knows it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's this sort of innovation idea. Some people think they become the masters of all theology, you know, without much training. And they'll come up with something that nobody ever imagined to be true. And proclaim it as a new apostolic dictum, and a new denomination is then born.
Yeah, oh my goodness. It's tragic, isn't it?
It's and tragic. It's
especially tragic for those who would come to this understanding that of the one true God and his Messiah, Jesus. Why isn't that good enough? I think Messiah Jesus is plenty good enough.
That's right.
And
the right lifestyle, which we're going to get to.
Certainly.
He's going to finish the book by saying, now there is a way to live properly.
That's right.
He's not lawless.
And it's not by the law of Moses, but it's by the law of Jesus Christ.
Law.
Yeah,
that's right.
Wonderful thing.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So this is very serious to Paul, verse 4 then. He's saying you become severed from Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, no, we're hanging on to Christ. But Paul is saying, no, you're putting your whole relationship with Christ in jeopardy. When you begin to say he's not sufficient. He alone is not sufficient. But instead we also have to have the law and the keeping of the law of Moses.
That's right.
But isn't that what Paul is saying to the Colossians in another where he's saying, you know, and you are complete in him. I think that...
With the circumcision not made with hands.
Right.
In that sense, it's the same topic.
Yes.
Also 2 Corinthians 3. Paul, this is his main theme, really.
Yeah.
How to get people to understand the freedom that comes in Christ.
Yeah. And to try to hang on to Christ and embrace Moses, embrace the law... is a total misunderstanding, and in order to try to do it in the scriptures, you have to turn Paul on his head, and you have to turn the things that he's saying on his head. People can test this out. All you got to do is read this book right here. It's a beautiful exposition on this, and just look at it. Every time Paul talks about law, take a look at it. What law is he talking about?
Yeah.
He's talking about not the traditions of the fathers. He's talking about the law that was given at Mount Sinai, He's talking about the law that included the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. He's talking about the law that was indeed 430 years after Abraham. And Paul is going to point us and say, the law made no difference about this matter of life and the kingdom. Promise. The promise to Abraham, as now made known to us in the Messiah. Mm-hmm. That's what that's all the difference. That's the key, the whole thing.
Very good.
Yeah. We're going to fight for this liberty, I think. What do you think?
Oh, I do. No, I think this is very important. People don't know why they may not be doing as well spiritually as they think they should. Try reevaluating their system.
Yes.
What is it you may have learned from some respected guru that's simply wrong?
Yeah.
And everybody else knows it's wrong.
Terribly unfortunate.
Except yourself.
Yeah.
This is difficult for people.
Terribly unfortunate.
It's difficult for all of us. Okay.
Verse 5. Mm. For we through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness.
Mm. Still waiting for the ultimate righteousness we haven't got yet.
Yeah.
We haven't got immortality yet. We've got a down payment of it.
Yes.
We're still waiting for a hope of righteousness in that coming kingdom of God on the earth when Jesus rules with the saints on a renewed earth.
Yes. Then all of this comes to fruition. Yeah. It all comes to this wonderful. Verse 6.
Yes.
For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. Absolutely nothing.
And one must say that in Genesis 17 it means everything.
Yes.
So you can play the trick. Well, the Bible says it does, but it isn't for you.
That's right. Thing.
I mean, look at the fact that Moses, I think, failed to circumcise his children. Remember?
Yes.
God was going to kill Moses for that. And here's Paul saying, circumcision is nothing.
That's right.
So some people then give up on Paul. You see, we meet those too. They find Jesus acceptable. But Paul is a blatant false prophet.
Right.
He's just contradicted Moses. He has.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But he has a right to, as the one in whom Jesus is now speaking, namely Paul.
And again, what Paul is fighting for is the not only the supremacy, but the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ. And I love that again in Colossians 2:10. You are complete in him. And the context, again, is about these same kinds of issues.
Same passage where we have these calendar things as a single shadow. Yeah. New moon, same status exactly as weekly Sabbath, same status exactly as the annual Sabbath. It's all a shadow contrasted there negatively with the Christ who is all-sufficient.
Wow. Yes.
Very clear. I didn't understand that for a very long time.
Wonderful.
To my own grief, actually. Yeah, now I see it.
Yes.
Didn't see it then.
Yeah. Verse 6. Mm. So neither circumcision means anything nor uncircumcision means anything. Obviously, it is critical to Paul that we not embrace circumcision because then it means something to us and we have to keep the whole law. That's what he just said. But in the eyes of God, those who are circumcised have no advantage over those who are not. None whatsoever.
Right.
So where is then the true motivation for keeping those things unless we're just being blinded and drawn into something that is inappropriate, not what God wants us to do.
Unfortunately, we have, though, by our millions. I mean, if we talk denominations here and look at millions of very sincere, genuine people who have not understood that these are not issues ever to divide people.
I think it would be good for all of us, anyone who is tempted to be drawn into that, take that verse in Colossians 2:10 and like put it up on your wall.
Oh, yes.
You are complete in him. And that's what I think we're fighting for. We're the completeness, the sufficiency of Jesus Christ.
Right.
If I'm not here to be Moses' disciple. Much too late for that. I'm the disciple of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
When Jesus came, the people said, no man has ever spoken like this.
Right.
Well, that would include Moses, I think. No one had spoken the things Jesus spoke.
Right.
No one.
We have always to stress the verse in Matthew 5, where don't think that I came to destroy the law.
Right.
I came to fulfill it. That's the key.
Yes.
If he's simply saying, I came to copy the law of Moses, jot and tittle, then Paul is a flagrant false prophet.
Yeah.
It's clear.
We do need to tear him out of the Bible.
Oh, absolutely. But what does Jesus really mean here when he says, I didn't come to destroy it, I came to give it its full meaning, which is exactly what Paul is doing here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Paul is showing us how that has happened. That's done. Yeah, wonderful stuff.
But what I'm trying to do here is to concede the point to the law-keeping party.
Yes.
They've got a point. Jesus said, do not imagine I came to destroy the law.
Yes.
No, the key there is I came to do something with it, to fulfill it, to give it the meaning that really it had intentionally from the beginning, that will harmonize Jesus and Paul very nicely.
And both Jesus and Paul did not come for the purpose of destruction of the law, or opposing or coming against it in that sense. But Jesus did say that he came to fulfill that law. And I think Paul recognizes that. That has been now accomplished.
Yes.
It's done. Yes. And it pointed the way to Christ. Now Christ is here. We're no longer under it. You know. And there were some problems with it. But Paul didn't come to destroy it.
Yeah.
Actually, a new covenant has now come. The one God had in mind from the beginning. And now that new covenant is where
we mustn't forget that Paul said, do we destroy the law? No, we're confirming the law.
Of course we are.
By saying circumcision in the flesh is nothing, he's confirming the law.
Absolutely.
Can you imagine that?
That's
a little tricky. But
right.
We are asked to be intelligent students of the Bible.
That's right. So verse 6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. But, and I think we have a disjunction there, this is what means something.
Of course.
Faith working through love, that's what means something. I like that. Yeah.
Exactly. Now we're getting to the point. The central point is love based on belief in the Kingdom of God gospel and in Jesus as the Son of God.
Wow.
And God is one.
Yes.
That one he'll stand with.
I love it. That's it.
Yeah.
Verse 7, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?
Obeying.
Wow.
It's disobedient.
So we're talking about your life activities,
yes.
isn't it? Yeah.
He's actually saying it's totally disobedient to be obeying Moses. Don't do it.
Yeah.
You're disobeying Jesus.
Wow. Verse 8, this persuasion did not come from him who called you. So you can say, well, this is what God wants me to do. This is what Jesus wants me to do.
Yeah.
Paul is saying, oh no, this sort of thing doesn't come that way.
Yeah. From the dark side, in fact, not from Jesus. Yes.
Verse 9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough.
Yeah.
Wow. Now that impresses me. I think I can only conclude that Paul is saying to us there, don't meddle with this.
Yeah.
Even meddling with the law, getting into that even a little bit,
it's
going to wind up affecting the entire lump of dough.
The whole body.
Right.
Of course.
That's why, again, I think sometimes I have people saying, yeah, but it's nice to do the things of the Lord, or it's a good idea, or whatever. I don't think it is. I haven't found Paul saying that here.
No.
Where did Paul say, oh, well, it is nice to do the law, I know that, or it's a good idea. Paul is not saying that. He's warning, don't get into that. Don't meddle with it. You may, by doing some of the things of the law, and you may say, well, I have the faith to believe it doesn't mean anything and all that. But what about how many others you may affect?
Of course.
Who then are going to be moved to think, well, I'm supposed to be keeping the law. Or they'll think they just have to keep it. Or they'll be drawn into it and it affects their entire lives, the lives of their children. And it's just not good. It's not the right way to go. Wow.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Verse 10. Mm-hmm. I have confidence in you and the Lord that you will adopt no other view. Mm-hmm. No other view. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
But the one who is disturbing you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. Oh, my goodness.
Very dangerous to disturb the people of God, isn't it?
Wow.
I'm thinking of these recent attempts to set the date for the second coming.
Oh, my goodness.
People who gave up their savings, their jobs, at great cost to themselves, and were terribly disturbed by a completely false idea that Christ was coming back on May the 21st. Very dangerous.
Terrible.
To disturb the peace of the people of God.
Yeah. Well, and then is it not the case that people like that, situations like that, actually are injurious to the cause of Christ in the eyes of the unbelievers out there that we would like to win?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they're going to look at the these sorts of false prophecies.
Bad advertising for the church.
Terrible.
Of course it is.
And for Paul, I think it's just a grievous matter that we would cast before those people that we would like to win, the unbelievers, the issues of the law, you know, and say, oh yeah, well come our way, and by the way, then you'll be circumcised and keep the law, or you won't be circumcised and keep the law, whatever these confusing ideas are.
Mm.
But in any event, you've cast now a great stumbling block in front of the unbelievers and hindered our own message.
Absolutely.
We're our own worst enemies at that point.
Indeed,
we are. Yeah.
Self-inflicted wound.
Yeah, it is indeed. That's right.
Oh, yes.
So,
verse
10.
Yes.
I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is.
Yes.
Verse verse 11. Mm-hmm. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished.
Yes, that's a very significant statement. If I'm still preaching circumcision, why am I getting persecuted? That shows he's not preaching circumcision, isn't it?
Those who are preaching circumcision are persecuting him.
Yes.
Even as he was bringing out about the two women, mm-hmm. you think, in the fourth mm-hmm. chapter.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the bondservant and then the free woman. And the one who is the children of the bondservant persecuted the children mm-hmm. of the free woman.
Wow. Yeah, I think it's an important point there. If I still preach circumcision, which I'm not, mm-hmm. and we should add circumcision and the whole law. If I am, in fact, preaching circumcision and the whole law, why am I being persecuted? I wouldn't be being persecuted.
That's right.
So I'm not preaching it. You see, there is the text in Acts to suggest that Paul does everything by way of concession. Mm-hmm. He's willing to go in the temple and offer sacrifice. Mm-hmm. But he's not making that the standard for the church. He'll do that as a one-off thing.
Yes.
He'll circumcise Timothy for the sake of the Jews. He might regret that later, possibly. I don't know. But here, it's quite a different situation. He's advertising against circumcision and the whole law.
And then back to his point about Titus that he made earlier in this same writing, that Titus was not required to be circumcised. This is Paul's wonderful moment, I think. He was very happy that all the church recognized. And then, isn't it rather silly to say, oh yeah, but we don't have to circumcise, but you're still going to keep the law. Paul is not teaching that. He's not saying that. If you're going to be circumcised, actually you are going to keep the law. That's the point. And to say we're going to keep the law without circumcision makes absolutely no sense.
Makes no sense.
No sense whatsoever.
Even worse is to say, well, we're not going to get circumcised, but we will, of course, but not for justification.
Yes.
See, that's just sheer confusion.
Yeah. And every one of those tacks, every one of those things, are things that Paul never said in any of this.
They're much
confusion. Yeah,
terribly complicated.
That's right.
Clutching at straws.
Yeah. Verse 12, would that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves.
It's the most vivid of all Paul's expressions in all of his letters. Let them chop it off, you know, in plain English.
Yes.
He's very, very angry here.
He sees this as a major problem.
Yes, absolutely. Right. Yes. He gets rude, if you like. He gets rather basic and stark with his language here.
But he's doing that to drive home a point.
Of course.
Starkly.
Right.
Yeah, if that's
he's terribly upset by the Judaizers in this letter.
Wow. Verse 13, for you were called to, and here's this word, freedom, back in this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love the way that this word freedom figures in. And the King James, I like the wording there in the 5th chapter and the 1st verse. It says,
liberty.
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ is
great
free.
Word.
And don't be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Wow, I like that.
Very strong.
Very strong.
Very strong.
So here we've been called not to the law, not to these issues, and certainly not to the traditions of men, but not to the law. Mm-hmm. And he's saying we've been called instead to freedom. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another.
Now we come to the key.
Wow. He's turning a corner and explaining this new and better way, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very subtle.
Here's our understanding of the whole thing.
The correct understanding of the whole law. It's
from Jesus, Messiah.
Yes.
Wow.
And it's to do with love, which is part of the law of the Old Testament too. It's clever. You can see how people can get confused.
Yes. Yeah. Verse 14, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting? I tend to think of it this way. We think about the Ten Commandments with it. Jesus came and brought us something that is far superior to the Ten Commandments.
Absolutely.
It's amazing to me that people still want to hold to the Ten Commandments and say, well, I have to have that. No, actually, you need what Jesus is bringing us. He's teaching us an understanding that says this, I think. If I love my neighbor, then I will not steal his ox.
Mm-hmm.
If I love my neighbor, I will not steal his wife.
Mm-hmm.
If I love my neighbor, I will not bear witness falsely against him. On and on.
Right.
And if I have love toward my fellow man, I have no need of a law then saying, oh, don't kill your neighbor. If I love you, you don't need to make a law for me saying, oh, by the way, don't kill.
It's perfect obvious.
That's right.
Perfect obvious.
And so Paul is telling us the whole law is fulfilled. There's that word fulfilled, accomplished.
In this one summary,
that's right.
Which is loving your neighbor.
Everything the law was trying to tell us, everything that it was trying to teach us, we now find fulfilled and accomplished.
Yes.
But in a different thought, in this thought.
It's interesting that Jesus can talk to a young man and confirm the Ten Commandments, only to bring him forward.
Right.
I've done all that.
Right.
But now let's suggest something else. Go and sell everything you've got. Let's go beyond the Ten Commandments.
Yes, indeed.
But he starts with the bridge. Right. We do that. Let's meet a person where he is.
Right.
And then move on to the new thing, which is that the whole law and circumcision is not what you do.
Right.
The whole law as summed up in love is what you do.
This is the law of Christ.
It's the law of Messiah.
And Jesus is saying, you remember, of course, he says to his disciples, a new law I'm bringing.
Yes.
A new command.
Exactly.
A new commandment. Not the one you had before, but a new one. The new commandment is that you love one another.
Yeah.
Love one another. So he's bringing us something he says is new. Mm-hmm. It's not what Moses said. He's bringing it to us in a whole different sense. This is the law of Messiah.
Yeah.
That you love one another. Even as I've loved you.
Very, very profound. It is.
So, verse 15.
Yes.
But, so here we have the other side of that picture. But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another.
It's terrible.
Wow.
That's what that system will lead to, right? Yeah.
And isn't really the keeping of the law in itself, the efforts to do that, doesn't that actually present new opportunities over and over again to bite and devour one another because you're not keeping this right, you're doing that right, you're not doing this right, I do this right, you're not doing it. And you've got this constant struggle, battle, infighting over who's keeping on. And the whole thing is misguided.
It is. Because you're obstructing the spirit.
Sure.
You're obstructing the very thing that will prevent that biting and devouring.
Is it not time to grow up as Christians?
It must be.
Isn't that what Paul was saying? While we were children, we were under these things.
That's right.
But now we're no longer children. It's time to grow up. Let's get up to where Christ is at. And in doing so, we're going to come to where God really wanted people to come to all along.
Yeah.
The law was only helping us to point the way. But Jesus is that
relevant
way.
Message.
I am the way, he says in John 14. Says, I'm the way.
Mm-hmm.
I am the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I am the life. Moses could never say anything like that.
That's right.
Nothing like it. Nothing remotely like it.
Yes.
It's powerful. Verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh.
The only solution to the flesh, then, is that Spirit.
Wow. Back to your thought earlier, where you was talking about the importance, the significance of Spirit.
Oh, and that takes us to the Gospel.
Yes.
See, people tend to think spirit is rather ethereally, and it is an invisible power, but it's connected with the gospel. How do you get the spirit? You got it by obeying the gospel of the kingdom. If you were the devil, what would you do? You'd want to get rid of that gospel of the kingdom, wouldn't you? Because that's the avenue to spirit, which is the key to this whole thing.
And I suppose the devil wouldn't mind how you get misdirected as long as you're misdirected.
That's
so
correct.
If we can misdirect you in this direction, or if we can misdirect and get you focused on trying to keep Moses' law, for goodness sakes, then he's pleased. As long as you're not thinking about the kingdom and the promise given to Abraham and that message that we hope in and Paul.
Those are the devil's no-go areas.
Yes.
You know?
Well,
he doesn't want you looking there.
That's right.
He'll quickly misdirect you
anywhere else.
Anything else in the Bible will do well.
That's right.
The Bible says, yes, but that wasn't actually for you, part of it.
Yeah. We have to understand our covenant, our obedience is all related to Messiah, Jesus Christ, the one and only one who is our mediator.
Right.
Our mediator is not, we don't have two mediators. We don't have Moses and Christ.
No.
Our mediator is Jesus Christ and Him alone.
The point is very clear. And he develops that in these next verses in a very clear way.
So, in verse 17, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law.
Oh. It says.
Isn't that wonderful?
What a contrast. Right.
Well, once again, isn't that back to the thought? If I love you,
I
don't need for someone to come in and say, hey, we have a law for you here. No. Your law is don't kill Anthony. There's no danger that I'm going to kill Anthony if I love Anthony.
That's right. That's right.
So we have no need of this. Well, if I love you, I'm not going to steal your goods. No. I'm not going to take the things that are your property.
That's clear.
I love you.
It's summed up in
that's
the
right.
word. Yeah.
So Paul, is, I think, isn't that what he's saying
to us
here?
No question.
He's telling us, if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Mm. Forget all that.
Mm. Yeah. Then look at the list of the opposite things. If you quell the Spirit, if you quench the Spirit, then the result is the faction and the division of denominationalism. Isn't it?
Oh,
we've got
goodness.
It all
yes.
over the place.
Oh, my land, yes.
Disagreement. We're all fighting each other, isolating each other and ourselves in various boxes,
right.
lest we might see what the other people are doing.
Yeah.
It gives us a sense of, well, we've got something going here, but wait a minute, you've got 25,000 other groups doing something different in the name of Jesus. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah. And one at the same time, while we're engaging in all those sorts of things, we are, to the extent we are involved in those things, we're neglecting the real
the
message.
Main point.
Of the one God, his Messiah, and the
kingdom gospel,
which is what we're supposed to be wholly, thoroughly involved
that's right.
in.
Wow. Yeah. Yes, I think that's clear. Yes, a list of things here, right? We don't want any of these in 20 and 21. And look at the warning. I forewarned you, and I'll warn you again, he says somewhere else. If you practice these things, you will not go to heaven. No, you will not enter the kingdom.
Yes.
We have unfortunately replaced that kingdom of God language. It doesn't sound like Jesus at all.
Right.
To sound like Paul and Jesus, you always talk about inheriting the kingdom of God when it comes with Jesus on the renewed earth in the millennium as being the first stage
beautiful
of
stuff.
That it's kingdom.
Absolutely
easy stuff.
Wonderful.
Yes.
And so all of these matters. Now think about this too. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. They're quite clear. They're immorality and impurity and sensuality and idolatry and sorcery and enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these.
There's
more stuff, but there's just more. But isn't that getting back to Paul said the law entered because of transgressions?
Yes.
If it wasn't for the problem of people doing these kinds of things, there would have needed to have been no law.
Sure.
But now we're coming to the place where that we're finding that we don't need a law that, by way of law, telling us don't commit adultery if we love our neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need a law saying don't be involved in idolatry if we love the one true God.
That's right.
You know. It's wonderful. And yet, we are, as Paul says in another place, we are not without law to Christ.
Right.
Not to Moses, but to Christ.
Not lawless.
And he has taught us amply, hasn't he?
Absolutely.
He's taught us everything we need to know about the way of the Spirit.
Yes.
He's taught us the ways of the Spirit.
Yes.
And
well, back to that, how do you get the Spirit? That's so important.
That
Galatians 3:2, we did it earlier.
I like that.
You get the Spirit by intelligent reception of the gospel of the kingdom. That's missing from many systems.
Yes.
Okay.
So it goes on in verse 21, he's saying, things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow.
That's not once saved, always saved, is it?
No, it is.
He's talking to people who have begun the journey. They've been baptized.
Right.
But you're not going to make it. You will not be in the kingdom unless you turn away from this Moses mixture that you've embraced.
Absolutely.
Came to embrace.
Right. And yet we have Jesus who's taught us all these things and is well preparing his people for the kingdom.
Yes.
And he's taught us that these are the ways of the Spirit and love.
That's right.
Not the ways of Moses and law.
That's right.
Isn't that interesting?
The whole book.
I don't think it's that hard, is it?
When you see it, it's not so hard.
Yeah.
That's right.
Verse 22, and then he's going to give us the other side of the story. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. No, don't need a law against those things.
No.
These things, however, are the fruits of the Spirit working in that's the right. people of God.
And again, that's back to the preaching of the gospel, because yes. the fruits of the Spirit are in the parable of the sower.
Yes.
You bear fruit.
Yes.
Here's the fruit. You miss the sower and the kingdom of God, you've taken the basis of the whole of the faith away. The devil's very good at that, Luke 8:12. When anybody hears the message of the kingdom, the devil is right there to get rid of that message of the kingdom, lest they should believe it and get saved. That's a verse that should be preached about three times every Sunday in every pulpit, Luke 8:12. Marvelous summary.
I love it. So we do have an understanding. Mm-hmm. We do have a teacher, and what he's taught us is that we would love one another as he mm-hmm. has loved us. Mm-hmm. Not just any love, but the love with which he's loved us. Mm-hmm. We should love one another. And in that state,
yes.
there is no law needed.
That's right.
Isn't that it?
That's only through the Spirit. Yeah. We'll not do that yeah. on our own strength. Yeah. We'll not do that by nature.
That's right.
It does depend on the Spirit, which depends on the intelligent reception of the gospel. So all leads yes. go back
That's right.
to the gospel, That's right. and there's the foundation. Yes.
Verse 24. Yeah. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus
yes.
have crucified the flesh
yes.
with its passions and its desires.
I like that.
Wow.
If you're of Christ, that's reminiscent of the verse where it says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs of the kingdom according to the promise.
Right.
If you belong to Christ, same Greek exactly here, then you have crucified the flesh. It's dead.
Wow.
You're dead to the law mm. also. Mm. And Jesus died so that we could be freed from this mosaic system. I see.
Wonderful. Verse 25, if we live by the Spirit,
yes.
again, sort of reminiscent yes. of 3 and 2, in the chapter 3, verse 2,
yes.
and all that.
That's right.
But if we live by the Spirit,
yes.
let us also walk
yes.
by the Spirit, yes. perhaps in the Spirit, walk
exactly.
according
yeah,
to the
Spirit.
Yeah, we
have to, absolutely. Yes. That's the Christian living part. We yes. have to make an effort here. It's not automatic, but it's going to be very counterproductive to try to do this via Moses, right. isn't it? It's not going to work.
Don't we have our hands pretty full
oh, yes.
walking according to
oh,
the
yes.
Spirit and
yes.
the things that God has yes. given to us through Jesus Christ
yes.
in the Spirit
yes.
Without worrying about getting back into all of Moses'
terrible.
Thing, which is,
work
again, as you pointed out, Peter is saying, we weren't able to bear that.
No.
It was too
That's
much.
Right. That's right.
But we've got plenty on our plate here,
right.
I think.
Absolutely.
According to the things
yes.
of Jesus and the
yes.
Spirit, without getting back into
very counterproductive,
all those
isn't it?
Oh, it is.
It's working against yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what we as human beings will tend to do.
Yes.
We'll work against ourselves
yes.
by trying to mix Moses and Jesus here. Yeah. Don't do
We're
it.
We're complicating things fiercely.
Oh. Yeah, that's horrible.
Yes, yeah, terrible.
Horrible.
Yeah. So in 26. Verse 26,
yeah.
let us not become boastful,
oh, wow.
challenging one another,
right.
envying one
yeah.
another. Well, let us just love one another
mm.
as Christ has
mm-hmm.
loved us.
Mm-hmm.
That's not anything Moses said. He wasn't able to say, now, love one another like Christ loved you.
No.
Because
no.
that was
yeah.
something foreign to Moses. He couldn't
yeah.
bring that.
Well, the law of love is in the Old Testament. You know, loving your neighbor
certainly.
As yourself is certainly there, but
certainly.
Not in this spiritualized version that we get in the Son only.
Yeah. And it's Jesus' yeah. version of these things that God had
yeah.
in mind from the beginning.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Predates the law.
Yeah.
Jesus, his law, his program, predates Moses.
Yeah.
by a long way back in the mind of God from the beginning. I think.
Absolutely. It's clear, but one has to see this.
Yes.
One has to meditate perhaps in this book for a year, six
yeah.
months.
Whatever it takes.
Cleansed.
That's right.
Whatever one learned wrong, one gets corrected.
Right.
Largely, I think, on this issue, by this
Certainly.
Book. It's a whole book, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Screams
wonderful.
At us. Actually.
Wonderful stuff.
It screams
it
at us.
Great.
We're left with chapter 6 coming in a moment.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Good stuff.